our Bibles and turn now to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. I'd like to deal with verses 1 to 37, but I'll be quick on most of them. Don't let that... Verse 37, I'm going to just read that one verse, and then we'll just go and lead up to it. The Lord said, Ezekiel 20:37, I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Beginning now in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 1. I'll read a few verses, make a couple of comments, and we'll come up to that 37th verse. Ezekiel 20, verse 1. It came to pass in the seventh year, fifth month, tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord, and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Now, it's right, and it's profitable for the soul to inquire after the Lord, to seek after the Lord. But here's an amazing thing. The Lord said to these elders that came, I'm not going to be inquired of by you. Oh, my. The Lord rejected to be heard by them. The Lord told Ezekiel, I'm not going to hear them. Now, I'm going to just share something with you, and we'll just go right on into it. We're going to find out in just a few minutes why the Lord would not hear them. Verse 4 to 7. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, then said I unto them, Cast ye away, every man, the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I'm the Lord your God. Now here's what the Lord said to Ezekiel. Now, these elders have come, and they're going to come to Ezekiel. He's the prophet. If you wanted to hear what God had to say, go to the prophet. And the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, you tell these fellas, I'm not going to hear you. Why? Well, because of rebellion that had happened in the past. He said, Ezekiel, will you plead for them is what it is. Here's what he's asking him. Will you spend your breath, Ezekiel, pleading for them? He said, Ezekiel, I want you to do something. I want you to rehearse in their ears the history of their father's rebellion when I brought them out of Egypt. I want you to tell them why. I'm not going to be inquired of by them. Here's the history. If you want to just listen, I'll just read it to you. Exodus 6, verses 7 to 8. Here's what the Lord had originally told them. He told them, he said, now, you know, the day I chose Israel, back in chapter 20, this is Exodus 6, verses 7 to 8. He said, I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to you for a heritage. I'm the Lord. Now here's what he told them. He said, I chose to show mercy to you. I, in sovereign grace, set my affection on you. I chose you, and I chose a land that I was going to give you. Here's a beautiful picture of the Lord saying to a sinner, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And I have prepared in my Father's house many mansions. Somebody will say, no thanks. Now, that doesn't sound fair to me. I think I'll pass. He said, Son of man, I want you to remind them how they were told to cast away the abominations of their eyes and not defile themselves with the idols of Egypt. Here's what he says. I don't want you to mix with the religions of this world. Don't cater to their ways, to their thoughts, thinking that they're doing something to merit salvation. Cast it away. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you've transgressed. Ezekiel 18:31 says, I'll make you a new heart, new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? He said, Ezekiel, you tell them how I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. You tell them how I swore by my name, by my character, by my will, by my purpose, by my covenant, that I'll have mercy and compassion upon my people. Verses 8 and 9 in Ezekiel 20. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. He said, they were in the land of Egypt, Ezekiel. Now you tell them, these that want to be inquired of by me, that wouldn't hear what I had to say, rejected my word. You tell them how they were in the land of Egypt, their fathers, that I originally put them there. I sent Joseph ahead of them. You remember the story, don't you? Joseph was taken into captivity, and he was made second in command to Pharaoh, and he had, you know, he oversaw all the distribution of the corn. And God sent Israel, his boys, and the nation grew and grew and grew, and God had put them there, protect them, oversee them. They were his people. You tell them. He said, now, Ezekiel, they've rebelled against me. They're not hearing my word, and they're not casting off the filthiness of their eyes, and they didn't forsake the idols of Egypt. No, they like what they saw. catered to their flesh. It was beautiful, big, and pomp. Therefore, they were deserving of judgment. But he said, I said in verse 8, I'm going to pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I withheld, I wrought for my name's sake, that my name should not be polluted, that my name should not be treated as common. He said in the sight of the heathens that they were among, that lest it should appear to the Egyptians. Whenever Moses went in and told him, said, God said, let my people go. He said, lest it should appear to the Egyptians that I would have saved my people, but I couldn't. Because they were too strong. Because they were stronger than me. I would pull out my fury upon them, but I wrought. For my name's sake. I'm God. Nobody's going to say that I couldn't save. You know, that's what the world's religion says. He will save if you'll let him. No, what you're saying is he can't. What you're saying is he can't save you. It's going to take a puny worm like me to help God? What kind of a God is that? It's not God. God's nobody. He's not God. David said, our God's in heaven. He's done whatsoever he's pleased. That's God. This God that people says he wants to save you if you let him, if you'll give him your heart. Verse 10, wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes. I showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I'm the Lord that sanctify them. He gave the Sabbath day, a day of rest. What does that mean? You don't go out to eat. Don't go to the picture show. Don't walk so many steps. You know, I'm going to honor the Sabbath day. I'm not going to do anything on the Sabbath day. You know what the Sabbath day was given for? The Sabbath day was a picture of Christ, the rest of His people in the Savior. Their rest from laboring to establish righteousness before God. That's what the Sabbath was. You don't keep the Sabbath because you don't go to a movie. Are you kidding me? You think you've done something for God? No, God's done something for us. He's given us the Sabbath. Verse 13, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. My Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I'll pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land that I'd given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments, walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. For the setting forth of God's glory, they rebelled in Egypt. He said, I would have poured out my fury on them in Egypt, but I wrought for my name's sake, so that my name would not be profaned, made common in Egypt's sight, thinking that I couldn't, but I was going to show mercy to them, so I didn't pour out my fury on them. I brought them out. that rebelled against me in the wilderness. I'd have poured out my fury upon them in the wilderness, but I wrought. I withheld for my name's sake, so that the heathen wouldn't think he can't save them. He couldn't save them. I gave them my law. I gave them the ground, a foundation by which a man shall live. If he keeps, and if a man can keep the law, he will live. The only problem is we can't keep it because of the weakness of the flesh. Listen, listen. Life rests in the observance of God's law. Now just establish that. Life rests. Life is found in the observance of God's law. That's right. But the problem is, nobody born in Adam can do it. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, establishing the laws, establishing obedience to the law for the sake of His people. He did keep the law. And that law, I mean that obedience to the law is imputed, is charged to the account of God's people. We did not keep it in ourselves, but in Christ we did. Christ we did. He said, I gave them my law. I gave them my Sabbaths. Our problem is that the weakness of our flesh, we can't do it. Thanks be unto God for the Messiah. But even in the desert, after the Lord had delivered them out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, and gave them water out of the rock, and they fed them with manna from heaven, the people rebelled against the Lord. Somebody say, I don't see how they could have done that. We're doing it right now. We do it right now. We're doing the same thing. They didn't do anything we don't do. We don't do anything they didn't do. We're all cut out of the same lump. There's none of us in ourselves worth anything. They despised His judgments, walked not in His statutes, polluted His Sabbaths. He said, I'll pour out my fury upon them to consume them. But I wrought. How many times do we find ourselves deserving of God's wrath? But He said, I wrought. I withheld for my name's sake. Thanks be unto God for His long suffering. Look at verse 18. But I said unto the children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord, your God. Walk in my statutes. Keep my judgments. Do them. Hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord, your God. That you'll know that I'm your God. You're my people. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, nor kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen, disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, polluted my Sabbaths. Their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. He said, this is what happened. He said, the fathers rebelled. I said to the kids, y'all don't do that. And the kids did the same thing. Rebellion is a manifestation of a nature that every man born in Adam possesses. I will, he said, pour out my fury upon him, accomplish my anger against him. But he said, I withheld. I scattered him. among the heathen, to disperse them to the country. And what did the Lord do? Verse 26, He said, I gave them, now listen to this, verse 26, I polluted them in their own gifts. Let me read verse 25. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I'm the Lord. What did he just say? He said, I tell you what I did. I gave them my statutes, I gave them my Sabbaths, I gave them my law, that they, if they keep it, they'd live by it. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. So what did I do? Verse 25, I gave them statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. He said, I gave them exactly what they wanted. You want to rebel? I'm going to give you just exactly what you want. Just exactly. Listen to Psalm 81, 10 to 12, and tell me if that's not exactly what the Lord said. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Is that not what he said? I'm going to give you just exactly what you want. Is that what you want? I'll give it to you. I'm going to let you do just exactly. He permitted them for a while to think that God could be worshipped acceptably in their rebellion. And do we not find this to be often the case today, even with us? That fleeting thought of rebellion that constantly enters our mind, thinking, God, I can do something for God. Why did he do that? He said, look at the last part of verse 26. He said that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. I'm going to cause you and bring you to see your stupidity. How many times have we thought the same things, and the Lord in mercy come to us and reveal to us what we're doing, and we think, how could I have been so foolish? How could I have done that? Listen, verse 27, 28. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they've committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, that they saw every high hill, all the thick trees, they offered there their sacrifices. There they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out there their drink offerings, even after they had taken possession of the promised land. Even after they came into Canaan. You'd think, boy, once they came into Canaan, they'd never, never rebel against God again. He said, they saw the thick trees. It's the leafy trees. There were places of false worship, is what I could find out about those thick trees. It was these places where that appealed to the eye, to the flesh. And there, what they were doing was they were setting up their places of worship just like the heathen. They started mixing and mingling, taking in, you know, mix a little bit of law and grace. Does not false religion say this? Now listen. Listen to what I'm about to say. When the Scripture declares, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. If I say, or you say, or anybody says, salvation's by grace. I believe that. I believe salvation by the grace of God. The Lord graciously offers it, and all I have to do is take it. Now, wait a minute. You've just negated grace. If it's grace, then it's no more works. Or works is not works, and grace is not grace. We're not defining the words. No, grace means no work, no effort on your part. That's what grace means. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what it means. He said what they did was after they came in to Canaan, they did the same thing. They came to the thick trees where the heathens worship, always looking for gimmicks, appealing to man's desires. You put a man in the best environment that you can put him in. And leave that man to himself, and what will he do? He'll do the same thing Adam did. And I do. And you do. Look at verse 29-31. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is Bema unto this day. Wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers? And commit ye whoredom after their abominations? And when ye offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves and all your idols, even unto this day? And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you. Israel was to worship God in the high place of God's choosing. And that elevated place is what it means. In that sacred place. It doesn't necessarily mean a hill. It just means that place, that sanctuary of God's choosing. Where God Almighty, where God raises up the gospel. I might say it doesn't matter where you go to church. I beg your pardon. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. The Spirit of God said through the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1:8, if an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel except this gospel of God's sovereign, free, saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. I'm going to give you the best advice I can give you. If you're sitting somewhere, if you're hearing somebody and they're preaching free will, man-centered religion, my advice to you is don't ever go back. God help us. If we listen to anything that is not sovereign grace. He said, I saw where you went where they were. Listen to this, 1 Kings 3:23. Only the people sacrificed in high places, the place of God's choosing, that elevated place of worship and sacrifice. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. He sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, that is, of God's choosing. And the king went to Gibeah to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer unto that place. Wherever the Lord raises up the gospel, hear it. Be like Mary. Hear the word of the Lord. What the people did was they profaned the true and genuine worship of God and followed the customs of the land. And the Lord asked them a question there in verse 29. He said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? What he said is this, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's what he's asking them. What are you thinking? Thinking that you can go and you think that you're going to go somewhere where my son is not honored, where my son is not glorified, where Christ is not exalted and man is put down being the worm? You think you can go somewhere
and you're going to just say, we're going to worship the Lord. That's everybody that raised their hand. We're going to worship God. He said, I'm not going to hear you. I am not going to be inquired of you. Let me say, well, I can worship the Lord any way I want to. No, you can't. No, you think you can. He said, I'm not going to hear. He said, you pollute yourselves in false worship and think that I'm going to be inquired of by you. Verse 31, as I live, saith the Lord, I will not be inquired of. You think you can approach me just any way? No. No. I'm going to tell you something. Up until this point, we don't have a whole lot of hope, do we? Well, thanks be unto God. Look at verse 32. He said, in that which cometh into your mind. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. You that know Him, and we all think this way, and don't say we don't. We struggle with these thoughts. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. That you say we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. This is what the Lord said. He said, what you thought to do, what your flesh has dictated to your heart, that you thought that you're going to worship me in the way of your choosing, in the place of your choosing. He said, listen, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And let's look at verse 32 again. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. Here's what happened. He said, the direction that you were going, because of the dictates of your nature, and the way that you thought, just because of the depravity of your heart, that you thought, you take a man, a woman that's coming up in false religion. Mark, we know something about that, don't we? Ruthie? Yeah. That you think, and I'm going to just stay right here. I'm happy right here. I'm a faithful servant. You know, that you thought, I'm going to be like this. I'm going to worship God this way. He says, not going to be. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to allow you to continue. He said, verse 33, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you're scattered with a mighty hand, a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. Now, as the Lord lives, this is what He said I'm going to do. Those that I've everlastingly loved, those that I've chosen in my Son, the elect, God's people, by irresistible grace, He said, this is the way it's going to be. By grace, according to my omnipotent hand of power, He said, I'm going to fetch you out of the clutches of sin. I'm going to get you wherever you are, wherever I've scattered you. I put you there. And I'm going to get you, you Mephibosheth. I'm going to bring you into the wilderness, and I'm going to plead with you. He said, I'm going to bring you into that place to where you realize I don't have anything else but the Lord. I'm going to bring you into the wilderness, and there I'm going to plead with you. This is a beautiful word. Here's the definition of I'm going to plead. I'm going to decide the controversy. That's what I'm going to do. It's not like I'm going to plead with you. Oh, please, 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 please give me your heart. No, 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 no. He said, with a mighty hand, with power and a stretched out arm, with an outstretched arm. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Here's what I'm going to do for you. With power, by my Son, the arm of the Lord, with fury poured out. You know,
in closing, I want us to look just for a second. Look what the Lord, when they were in Egypt, look at verse 8, back in verse 8. They rebelled against me. I would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them. Look at verse 13. The house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. My Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them. Look at verse 21. Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them. What did he say in verse 33? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with outstretched arm and with fury poured out, not upon them, upon his Son, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to rule over you. He did pour out his fury. He's a just God. And a Savior. What power is exhibited when God comes to rule in His people? You leave them to themselves, and all they're going to do is rebel and rebel and rebel. But when He says, no more, no more, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to reveal myself unto you. I'm going to show you what you are. I'm going to bring you into the wilderness of your nothingness. And I'm going to decide the controversy. Spirit of God comes and He reproves them. He convinces them of sin, that that's what they are. Of righteousness, that they don't have any of themselves. Only the righteousness of Christ. And of judgment, that Almighty God has poured out His judgment upon Christ in their stead. And here's the last verse. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. A couple of verses and I'm over. Leviticus 27, if you want me to, I'll just read this to you. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 32. This was taken from a shepherd's rod. And what he would do is that shepherd is able, the sheep would pass under that shepherd, would count them. With that rod. Leviticus 27, verse 32. The scripture says, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And whenever a shepherd would count his sheep, he would count those, and those a tenth of them, that was for the Lord. He counted. He passed them under the rod. Jeremiah 33, verse 13. Scripture says, in the cities, in the mountains, in the cities of the vale, cities of the south, land of Benjamin, places where Jerusalem, about Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. That telleth, I looked it up, that counts them. You're mine. Back in Ezekiel 20, verse 37, I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into a knowledge of the bond, of the security, of the covenant that I've made with you. That's what David said his salvation is. He said, this is all my salvation. He made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation. This is all my plea. This is all my hope. Almighty God has a people. And they're born in rebellion. And leave them to themselves, and they'll die in rebellion. But for the grace of God, He said, I'm not going to allow you to continue. The things that you thought in your mind, he said, ain't going to be. I'm going to bring you out with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm. And with fury poured out upon my son, I'm going to save you in spite of you. And I'm going to cause you to pass under the rod. And I'll bring you into a knowledge that I've everlastingly loved you. And I called you by grace. And I kept you by my power for my name's sake. Amen.